For those of you all who are not with us during our time of sharing, AJ, if you can just turn me down just a little bit. Thank you. For those of you all who are not with us during our time of sharing, we will be coming from Romans chapter 8, verses 28. And the word of God reads, "We know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." For the time that we have together during our time of preaching, I would like to preach from the subject, "Here's Why." Tap your neighbor and say, "Here's why." Here's why. Tap your neighbor on the other side and say, "Here's why." Here's why. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will fall fresh on this, your servant. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. But God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that your word might go forth so that you might be glorified. The people of God might be edified, and more importantly, Satan might be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So growing up in the life of the church, there are a lot of what I call cliches or things that I oftentimes hear people say. And as I've grown older in my spiritual walk, I've learned that I have to be careful about what I say out my mouth. Because as the Bible admonishes us, there is life and death in the power of the tongue. But more importantly, oftentimes we say things thinking that it sounds good, or we say things thinking that it makes us feel more closer to God or holier than we are. And oftentimes we really don't understand the essence of what we're really saying by whatever that comes out our mouth. And so I want to ask you a question. How many times have you made the following statements? Lord, use me. Lord, have your way. Lord, I'm available to you. Fill me up, Lord. Speak to my heart. Guide me. Not my will, but your will be done. And oftentimes when we say that, here is what we really mean. Use me only when it's convenient for me. Use me only when somebody's watching and they can congratulate me for being so holy. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. It's all right. Have your way as long as you consult me first. You can put an appointment on my Google Calendar. You can call me on my cell phone and consult me before you have your way. Because there may be some things that you and I don't agree with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm available to you, but don't overuse me. You're encouraging me to be a part of a ministry, God, but don't overuse me. You know, I got appointments. I got things to do. I got people to see. There's so much I'm involved in. God, use me, but don't overuse me. Fill me up, Lord, but not too much. Don't have me overflowing, Lord, because I don't know what may happen. I don't know how things may change in my life. God, fill me up, but not too much. Speak to my heart, Lord, but say only what I want to hear. I don't want you to tell me to read my Bible every day. I don't want you to tell me to tithe on a regular. God, I got things I gotta do? God, speak to my heart. But we need to be in agreement about the things that you're speaking. Guide me. But please, Lord, please do not take me out of my comfort zone. You know, I know I'm supposed to be a good Christian. I know I'm supposed to do certain things. I know I'm supposed to look a certain way. But God, I'm all right with that as long as you don't take me out of my comfort zone. Because at whatever point that happens, then God, you and I are going to have a problem. We have to be careful about what we say. Because in reality, all these things sound good. All of these things sound very spiritual. But if there's no meaning and no essence behind what we're saying, then why are we saying it? Are you looking for approval? Are you trying to make people think you're more holier than you are? What is the reason and the essence behind what it is that you're saying? It's not what I came to preach about today, but I just want to throw that out there. And so as we look at this passage in Romans chapter 8 and 28, and when we look at some of the things that we say in our spirit to God, I want to admonish us moving forward and really in your spiritual life that you be careful about what you say out your mouth. That you be careful about what you say to God, because once it comes out of your mouth, God hears it. When you ask God to use me, when you ask God to fill me up, basically what you're saying is, God, I relinquish control. When you ask God to have your way with me, what you're saying is, God, I'm okay with whatever you bring my way. If it's heartache, I'm okay with that. If it's pain, I'm okay with that. God, if it's turmoil in my life, I am okay. And the reason I can be okay is because I know that you are, as the author and the finisher of my faith, that you are working everything out for my good. Now, during our time together, I kind of want to start from the end and kind of work my way back to the front of this verse, because this is one of those passages where we oftentimes recite it and we oftentimes use it, but people really don't understand what is happening and really don't understand the essence of what is going on in this particular passage, right? And so as Christians, when we follow after God, and as Christians, when we strive to be all that God has called us to do, there are certain things as a result of that are automatically going to happen. I always tell people, and I'm very quick to tell people, Christianity and Christendom is not a pretty thing. When you give your life to the Lord, it's not a bed of roses. You know, you're not going to hear hymns every day. You're not going to hear a good tidings every day. The enemy is going to be hot on your trail, and he is going to want you like he has never wanted you before. You got to be careful what you ask for. Because if God gives you what you ask for, you may lose your mind. You've got to be careful what you request of God, because what you're saying to God is, have your way, whatever that means, however long it takes, whoever you have to move out of my life, whatever situation or circumstances that you have to put me in, God, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Don't stand up in church and say things because you think it sounds spiritual. Don't stand up in church and say things because you think somebody's going to give you accolades. We need to get to a point in our spiritual lives where we are open and transparent and honest and sincere with a true and a living God. And so when we go throughout situations and circumstances as Christians, when we get to the place in our Christian walk where we are not bothered by the foolishness that people try to bring in our life, when we get to the point where we are not bothered by the darts that the enemy is going to try to bring, when we get to the point that we are not bothered by the foolishness of the world, we will begin to live life in a different way. Some of us have set New Year's resolutions. How you doing? Ask your neighbor, how you doing on your resolution? Go ahead, ask him. How you doing? Ask your neighbor on the other side, how you doing? We said at the beginning of the year, I want to come to Bible study more. How you doing? You said at the beginning of the year, I want to tithe more. How you doing? You said at the beginning of the year that you want to be a better Christian. How are you doing? How you doing? When we go through our situation and circumstances, when we understand the basic principles of the fact that we love God, right? And let me set up shop right here for a minute. When it says for those who love God, we don't love God the same way we love each other, right? Oftentimes, if I be honest with myself, I don't like the things that God does in my life. I don't like the places that God takes me to. But because I understand that God is the author and the finisher of my faith, I still am in love with him. I can still love somebody and not like them. I can still love somebody and not agree with everything that they say. I can still love somebody and follow after everything that they tell me to do. Because I love him. With an unconditional love. And that love causes me to lean on him. That love causes me to depend on him. That love causes me to press into him. And the reality is, let me help somebody here today. The reality is, if you did not struggle like you do, you would not feel like you need God. If God did not take you through the situation and circumstances and keep you on your knees, you would not be a Christian at all. Because in your mind, you would get to the point where you believe the lies that the enemy has told you that you have it under control. Yeah. So sometimes in life, God has to keep pressing us. It's almost like if I'm not a lemonade drinker, right? But in order to get lemonade, the lemons have to be pressed, right? And so oftentimes God is trying to refine us and God is trying to purify us. You know, we're quick to run out here to Michael's and the Zales and buy the gold and the platinum silver. But you have to understand that platinum silver and that gold that you're buying has gone through a refining process. And God is taking some of us through that same refining process so that we can come out pure. So that we can come out new, so that we can come out refreshed, so that when people see us walking down the street, they'll say, what happened to you? You're walking different. You're talking different. You got a little less attitude about you. You got a little less stank in your voice. And the reason why is because we encounter a true and a living God. And because I encounter that true and that living God, not only do I love him, but I understand that I have been called according to his purpose. Everybody put your hand up in front of your face. Real quick, breathe. If you felt hot breath on your hand, then that means you were called according to God's purpose. If you are living and you are breathing here on this earth, that means that you are called according to God's purpose. And what will happen is, at whatever point you finish that purpose, then you need to be scared because a death angel is on your doorstep. And so although you may not know what it is you want to do when you grow up, although you may not know what it is you want to be spiritually, trust and believe that the true and living God that we serve has a purpose for you. All you have to do is live into that purpose. You may need to start asking the question, God, what is your purpose for me? I should have been dead and gone a long time ago. But God has kept me. There's some situations and circumstances that I put myself in that should have taken me out. But God, I'm still here. And if I'm still here, obviously there's a reason and there's a purpose that you have for me. And so maybe we need to start asking the question, God, what is my purpose? I feel like I've been wandering around. I feel like, you know, sometimes I don't know whether I'm coming or going. God, I feel like I'm constantly struggling. I'm up in the middle of the night when everybody else is sleeping soundly. And God, I feel like I've been wrestling. God, what is my purpose? And when I understand my purpose, I don't worry about what other people say. I don't get caught up in the foolishness that everybody else does, because I understand that I'm only looking for the applause of an audience of one. I appreciate the affirmation, but I'm looking for approval from God. I appreciate the applause, but I'm looking for the applause of an audience of one. I'm looking to seek after and press my way after God so that he can do all that he wants to do in my life. And so when you go through situations and circumstances in your life, which you will, when you go through hard times in your life, which you will, when you go throughout situations and circumstances in your life, here's why. Because for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose, the Bible says all things are working together for my good. I don't understand what that all looks like sometimes. Sometimes I get frustrated with what that all looks like sometimes. But I have to have the confidence of knowing, God, I don't understand it. It hurts. It's painful. God, I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. I'm busted and disgusted. But God, I trust and believe that your word says that all things are working together for my good. And I have to stand on that. Because if I don't, I'll lose my mind. God, if I don't stand on it, I'll go back to that bottle. God, if I don't understand it, I'll seek out the drug dealer. God, if I don't understand it, I'll seek out that man or woman. When God is saying to us, all we have to do is seek him. All we have to do is press into him. All we have to do is stop seeking counsel from other people and turn to a true and a living God. Stop worrying about what other people think about you and push into a true and a living God. Stop worrying about what your past and what your mother did and what your father did and maybe what you even did, and seek and push into a true and a living God. Life will be different for you when you get the revelation that all things are working for your good. That person who gets on your last nerve, they won't bother you as much. Pastor Tammy preached last week about being ready for warfare. I won't worry about fiery darts of the enemy anymore, because I know that's working together for my good. I won't worry about confusion that comes my way anymore, because I know that's working together for my good. I won't worry about the attitude that you have with me, because I know that even in that attitude, God is working that together for my good. And so as we move forward as a church, it's going to be very important that we understand what that word all means. It's only three letters, A-L-L. But that three-letter word encompasses so much. It encompasses God's will for me. It encompasses God's provision for me. It encompasses God's protection for me. And it encompasses everything that comes along with that. Now, some of you all may be saying, well, Reverend Holt, I hear you. I hear the here's why. But how do I get to the place where I can even begin to understand what the love of God looks like? How do I get to the place where I can begin to understand that all things are working together for my good? And if that's you, I'm so glad you're here, so that I can introduce you to a man who came from a woman, a virgin, who was here on this earth for 33 years. And he was without sin. And he valued you And he valued me so much that he was willing to give up his life because he loves me. He was willing to be beaten. He was willing to be publicly disgraced. He was willing to be hung on a cross just for you. So that on September the 2nd, at a little bit after 12 o'clock in the afternoon, that I could extend to you an invitation to come to get to know him. To come to get to know a man who doesn't want you for your money. He doesn't want you for your body. He doesn't want you for who you know. He wants you just for you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And he wants to grow you to be all that he's called and created you to be. And so if you don't have a relationship with that man named Jesus, I extend to you the invitation to come as we stand to our feet. The second invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Hall, I have a relationship with Jesus. I've been walking with him, but I don't have a place to plug in. I don't have a church home where I can grow and where I can develop so I can understand what that all means for my life. We extend to you the invitation to come. Now, I will tell you, we're not a perfect church. As Pastor Warner says, we're a messed up family. But we're a family who is striving to be all that God has called and created us to be. And so this morning, if you're looking for a church home, we invite you to come. The third invitation that I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I've been away from home for a little while, but I hear the Spirit of God saying it's time for me to come back. We would love to have you here. We would love to grow with you. As the choir sings, if you fall within either of those three categories today, we invite you to come. Will you find rest? For all of our children last week, but today I want to invite anybody who works in MCPS or PGPS, if you work in any of school systems in any capacity, as bus drivers, as teachers, as custodians, as volunteers, we invite you to come to the altar at this time. And anybody else who would like to come to the altar for prayer, you may join us at this time. Just so shall find rest. ask Reverend Brantley to anoint your heads this morning. We want to pray the same care and keeping that we prayed over our children, over you. As you interact with every single child, every parent, every grandparent, every aunt, every uncle who will enter into your schools. And we are going to pray the Spirit of God that is within you would allow you to minister to everyone who you come in contact with. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and pray. God, we lift up right now all the students, staff, and faculty members as they return to the various school systems all over the state of Maryland. Father God, you know what lies ahead of them in this coming school year. God, you know every conversation that they will have. God, you know every confrontation that will happen. Lord God, and we pray right now that you will cover